Open your Bibles with me this morning to James chapter 5. James chapter 2. If you go to 5, just go back a couple. I got ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Build a little foundation for the direction that the Lord's leading today. Amen. First of all and foremost, God wants you to know, everyone in the room, to know that He chose you and He selected you. Amen? That you're chosen. Look at the one beside you and say, you are chosen by God. And He loves you. And He has a great plan for your life. I'll talk to you, hon. Hallelujah. James chapter 2, verse number 5. The word of God says, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He had promised to them that love Him? James is posing this question. In other words, you may have been poor, but you don't have to stay that way, because we're rich in faith. You know, Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants you and I to understand that He's chosen us, and many of us were poor, but we don't have to stay that way. That we're poor, but we're rich in faith, and we have an inheritance because God has chosen and selected us. How do I know that God has chosen and selected us that are in the room? Because you answered the call. Amen. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 43 for our message this morning. God doesn't say to you and I that everything's going to be easy, but He's our very present help in a time of need. He is our helper, our strength, our comforter. He's always there. The prophet Isaiah, as the word is being prophesied, just as the prophet Isaiah is prophesying to the children of Israel, according to Romans chapter 11, you and I have been grafted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. This prophetic word comes to everyone. We're all children of God. So he says in verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is the truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that thou may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. You know, in the beginning, God. God is the creator. He was at the beginning, and He'll be at the end, and He'll be everywhere in between. The title of this morning's message is a question. Can we broadcast? Can we broadcast? Can we air some of the things that the Lord has done for us? You know, we believe, we become, and we behold. We become what we believe, and we behold what we become. Amen? So let's lift the word today and make a declaration of the house, and I'll see where the Lord's going to take this today and what He wants to say. Amen? Let's make a declaration. Say, I believe, This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart of each and every one that's gathered here today. Again, Father God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak through me, Father God. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Father, may we recognize that it's all about you. So we just say, Lord, have your way in this house. Have your way in every heart and life. And when all is said and all is done, you will receive all the glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, he says he's chosen us that we may know and believe me. That we may know and believe him. So look with me first in Psalms chapter 46. I love this scripture. Sometimes this is what we just need to do. Sometimes when we're trying to accomplish something and we're trying to do something, sometimes we just need to do what the psalmist says in Psalms 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. You know, so many times we're trying to exalt Jesus amongst the world, and Jesus wants us to understand that he will be exalted. Every tongue, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. He says, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen? Not just in heaven. But he's going to be exalted here on earth. So look at me in Psalms 100. Verse number 3. I like this. This is right in the middle of entering his gates with thanksgiving and praise. But he says in verse 3, he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that have made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. In other words, and I've got to get this in my mindset, not just in my heart set. I've got to get a no-so mentality. Amen. Not a think-so, not a maybe-so, but a no-so mentality. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, we're talking about believing. We're talking about knowing and believing. We believe. The Word of God says in Romans 10, verse 8, he says, but what saith it? Question mark. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This isn't a think-so, this is a no-so. In other words, if I believe, faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So if we're looking at this and believing, you need a Bible. Amen. In other words, I can't go any further. If I don't believe, that God raised Jesus from the dead, I can't believe in my salvation. I can't live a resurrected life. I'm not passed from the old man. I'm still living in the old man. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead. In other words, what God is saying to you and I with this believing, that we walk and we operate in a resurrection life. We're alive and well because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he arose triumphantly as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. In other words, God wants us to get this on the inside. He wants us to be flowing with the fullness that he has purchased for us. Amen. God didn't do it halfway or partway. He did it all the way. And when he said it was finished, it was done. Amen. In other words, when he said it was, when it's finished, it was done, that means victory's been won. Amen. So look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. Verse number 13. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. In other words, don't just try to proclaim something that you believe, because nobody's going to receive what you don't believe. Amen. Confession. Confess your faults one to another, and the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This Thanksgiving, I've been doing really good, but I was a glutton. Any other gluttons in the room today? What I was a glutton with was pie. I could actually say I got pie-faced. I ate too much pie. And the problem with me eating too much pie is the Lord said I can't eat too much pie. Amen. The Lord healed my body from diabetes, but he said that I'm still 63 years old. I've got to use wisdom. I've got to be disciplined. Amen. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, don't tell anybody to do something that you don't do. Boy, that was like, ouch. In other words, he says to you and I, Jesus said that he made it just as simple and plain to us. He said, don't look at the mote in your brother's eye. Pull the plank out of your own. In other words, we're all still a work in progress. Now, the problem is, amen, that I got an area in which I have a weakness. Amen. But I am in my weakness, I'm made strong. But his strength is made perfect in my weakness if I allow his strength to be made perfect in my weakness. He isn't going to force his strength. I could have backed up from that thing any time. I blame it on my wife because she's such a good baker. Oh, there she is. I mean, she made a dynamite apple pie. Woo! Okay. I repent. I confess. But the consequences. I was miserable for 2 days. Seriously. Man, I had this dying headache. I said, Lord, take it away. He said, you baked it. You know, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. There's consequences. And God has said, he's already healed. He said, I was running in the park yesterday. He said, you don't have diabetes. I healed you from diabetes. But you have a lack of wisdom because you partook of something that you shouldn't have, and you abused it. And it's just not in the pie. For me, it's pie. Each of us have our own demons. Hallelujah. I guess what I was doing is confessing to each and every one in the room that I'm human. Amen. But we're looking as believers. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. This is a prayer. And this is a prayer I was praying for myself and others, just as Paul prayed. You know, as Paul, the Apostle Paul, is praying for the church of Ephesus, he's praying for the church worldwide. It's a prayer for you and I, amen, because we're all part of the body of Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15, the Word of God says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." In other words, the Father is saying to you and I, he has given us the power to those that believe to overcome anything the adversary brings our way. The adversary and that pie should not have had an effect on me. I didn't take dominion over it. It took dominion over me. Amen. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do? I had to bite the bullet. You know what I had to do? Again, I had to do it again. Now I'm fasting sugar again. I love sugar. And I put sugar in front of God. You might not see it, but I did, because I used that. He told me not to abuse that. And I was disobedient, and I put it to practice in my body and let it come into my body, and it had an effect. Then my first point is, "Lord, why are you letting this happen?" Hello? All of a sudden, I want to blame God. You know? But he says to confess our faults one to another. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God is saying to you and I as believers that we're to stand together with one another. Where I have a weakness, you may have a strength. Where you have a strength, I may have a weakness. And God's called us to be a body to support one another. You know, we talked about this morning, early in the service this morning, I was thinking about, all around the community, we have medical practices, and they practice medicine. And we're a ministry practice, practicing ministry. Hello? That's what God has done. Has he given us gifts and talents and abilities to bring in the house to practice it amongst one another? You know, we're to put these things to practice. And I guess what the Father is saying to you and I today is simply this, that no one has arrived yet. You know, nobody's arrived. We're all on a journey together. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm not going to look at your faults or your sins and magnify your sins and make your sins larger than my sins. Amen. If you look at the reality, sin is spelled S-I-N. There isn't an S-I-N for that one, and an S-I-N for that one. It's sin. Sin is sin. Amen? So we're not going to magnify someone else. In other words, what God is saying to you and I, just as he said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sin has an effect. The wages, if you look at wages, it means there's a payment for it. Amen? I'll just stop there and move on. Everybody with me? He says first, he says when we believe, we become. We become. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 2. I love Solomon because he's full of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 2, the Word of God says this: so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, in our text today, he said, and understand that he is he. Amen? That he is God. Before him or after him, there is no other. And when I'm looking at this, God wants us to understand. Here's what God says to you and I as his children. The adversary cannot steal from you what you understand. The only thing the adversary can steal from you is what you're confused about. He's the author of confusion. So Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get understanding. Amen? And others say, understand, if I believe, I can only become what I understand. You hear me? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, well, Pastor, what are you doing? Well, you know what? We're all on a journey. We're all in a battle. And the Father wants you and I to realize who we believe in and the effect it has. And he wants you to understand that we can become what he says we can become. You know, the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, now Paul's praying for the church of Colossus. Paul was a prayer warrior. Amen. Amen. He said in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, God wants you and I to have understanding. Amen? We need to have understanding of what's been completed and what's done, you know, and what I've become. I, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, I become a child of God. As a child of God, the Word of God declares that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not that old man anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I become a child of God. Amen? And I have to have understanding of who I am. And when I walk in this world, and I'm facing adversity, let's say I'm facing financial adversity. I'll use that. I have to remember who I am and who I represent on earth. And my Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills that they stand upon. I'm a representative of heaven on earth, and I have all the riches of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. You know, God wants you to recognize who you are. The adversary doesn't want you to see who you are. Because faith is the substance of things we hope for, not the evidence of things seen. He has you looking in the natural instead of in the spiritual. But when we look in the spiritual, it'll start manifesting in the natural. Amen? I don't know about you, but my dad wasn't a rich man, but he was rich in faith. Hallelujah. But my daddy was just my earthly daddy. I got a big daddy. A big, big daddy. Amen? That we all are children of the Most High. Amen? And he says to you and I, and the Apostle Paul said to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, are you listening? Just like the Apostle Paul said to his student Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what God is saying, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember, if you get a hold of this, if you get this revelation, the adversary cannot steal from you what you have understanding of. Hello? Amen? Just like somebody would come up to me and say, well, you're not David Sly's son. Well, I know I'm David Sly's son. So I would say that words that were coming at me are a liar. They're lies. So any word that comes at me that doesn't align with revelation of who I am and Christ Jesus does not belong to me. Hello? And let me say, somebody may say, well, you're a little radical. You're a little crazy. Well, I think it's time for us to get a little radical and get a little crazy for the kingdom of God. Hello? Amen? There's so many people that are dying in religion and aren't living in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus come to set the captives free. Liberty, open prison doors, man. We're a free bunch of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us are acting a little more freer than others. Amen. I can jump. I'll do whatever. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't care what the world thinks. I'm not here to please the world. I'm here to please the Lord. But you know, he always does things decently in order. So, when he's going around there, I said, "Wah! Wake up, church! We serve a living God. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive." Amen. I know, in other words, you got to get that in your heart and mind. You got to believe, and then you become. There's life that's coming inside of you and I if we just believe and receive what all that God has done and understand what he's done. We can only become what we understand is done. Hallelujah. Excuse me if I get loud. I love the way Jeremiah prophesied this in Jeremiah chapter 9. Go back with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. Hey, let me say something to you. There's nothing wrong with getting excited about Jesus. Hello? Come, I want you to meet this dull God we serve. He's alive, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 23 says, thus saith the Lord. Every time I hear that, it's just like, okay, I'm listening. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory of glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen. In other words, we don't have to be looking for anything else. It's already here. Hallelujah. It's already come. It came as flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Amen. So by believing this, we become, and then all of a sudden, guess what happens? All of a sudden, we behold. In other words, turn with me back to our text in Isaiah 43 a minute. Just this one thing the Lord spoke to me about this week. Verse number 19. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Not like it's ever been done before. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In other words, no matter what the obstacle looks like, no matter if there's mountains in the way, God's getting ready to do something brand new. He's getting ready to pour out like never before. And there's obstacles that will all of a sudden be removed. There's a big transfer of wealth that's going to be transferred from the wicked to the righteous for this end time harvest of souls. Why? Because God says it in His Word. Amen. And if God said it, He's going to do it. Every last word that was spoken will be accomplished. There will not be one word that falls to the ground that He will not do. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, faith should be increasing in the room. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, we're being transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. Where He says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we renewing our mind? By the Word of God. We're believing. We're believing that we're becoming. We're becoming because we became, we can behold God's mysteries that have been hidden. And Revelation begins to open up, and God begins to reveal Himself in a supernatural way. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, one of my favorite scriptures, I love this one. You've been waiting for something? Here it comes. The Word of God says, for He saith in verse 2, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or kept thee. Salvation is healing body, mind, soul, and spirit. Amen. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God wants you and I to understand He's the God of today. So many of us are waiting for God to do something in the future, and He's the God of now. He's the God of now. The God of here and now. The God of here and now. Just like God moved yesterday. What did He do? Right. And what did He do? He took a right. He did something. He did something out of the natural and did it supernatural. Amen. God adds His super to our natural when we're walking in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden it becomes supernatural. Amen. God just wants us to be expecting these things. Amen. I don't know. I don't know. There's not one woman that carries a baby at 9 months. They're not expecting something to happen. Daddy's expecting something to happen, right? God is getting ready to birth something in your life, and God wants you to have a heart of expectation. He wants you to have a heart of expectancy. In other words, He's just not going to surprise you. Hello? You and I shouldn't be surprised. We said, okay, He told me it was coming. Here it is. Hallelujah. He told me it was coming. Here it is. Amen. In closing then, 2 Timothy. You take your time. I'll read slow. I don't know how to read slow. Somebody help me with that. The Apostle Paul said this to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 10. He says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, every word that was spoken, it can't be changed. He says to you and I, he says, I am God. I change not. You know, when the Lord spoke to me yesterday in the park, he didn't beat me up. He wrapped his arms of love around me. He loved me right where I was at. But he loved me so much he didn't want to leave me there. He wants you and I to understand today that if we believe, we can become. And if we become what he's called us to be, we'll behold. We'll see all these things coming before they ever come. God says he will never surprise you and I with, he'll let us know. He speaks to us. He's got an open door. He's got an open door policy. And I believe what he said is we're pressing towards the kingdom and his righteousness. He says, hey, we believe, we become, we behold. But he says, leave those things behind that are behind us. He's saying to you and I, there's no looking back. Amen. Amen. There's no looking back. We're all on a journey together. Is anybody with me in the room? Are you with me here today? Can we all just stand? I don't know. I don't have a closing for today or something that's planned or prepared. Amen. I just know that God loves everyone in the room. I know he's called you by name. I know he has a plan in your heart and life. I know he's anointed you for a time such as now. I want you to understand the gifts of God are irrevocable. They do not change. God doesn't give you something and take it back. He is not a, I'm not going to even say that. He's not a, that's using some kind of thing. I'm not going to use that word. God wants to pour his love out on each and every one of us. So would you just lift up your hands and receive the love of the Father today. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your love.